moving into hour number two. A tremendous Monday to you. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome. I'm in Southern California. And it is great to have you here. Telephone number is toll-free nationwide, 1-800-636-8686. Obviously, we're on to the Sweet 16, so we're talking quite a bit about the big dance. In fact, we are joined right now by the head basketball coach of Illinois. He is in his seventh season. He won the Big Ten tourney in 2021, the Big Ten regular season title in 2022. The Illini have five straight 20-win seasons. They're playing in the NCAA tournament for the fourth straight year. They're 28-8 overall. They are the three seed in the East. They're on to the Sweet 16, where they will play the two seed, Iowa State, Thursday in Boston. Of course, I'm talking about their head coach, Brad Underwood. Brad, always good to have you on. Great to have you back. How you doing, Brad?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Jim.
Always good to have you on. So let me start right here. What's it mean to you, your players, and the school overall to be headed to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 05 when the Illini made it to the national championship game?
Yeah, it means a lot. You know, we've got just great administrative support. We've done so much for our facilities here. We sell out every night. Our fans travel. This is a heck of a program, and it's crazy that it's been that long, but you know, we got upset a couple years ago as a one seed, and now it's nice to advance to that second weekend.
Brad Underwood's joining us. In fact, you went viral with your team's post-game celebration. You guys were having a great time after you hammered Duquesne by 26. Whose idea, Brad, was it to break out the Super Soakers, you or somebody else?
It was our strength coach, to be honest. He gets all the blame. So I usually am the one who gets doused. We celebrate winning after every game. I think it's really hard to win, and it takes a lot of effort, and I want guys to have fun in those moments. But it was actually really nice to be able to give back a little bit instead of take all the water. So that Super Soaker now, that thing holds a lot of water. That was fun. We were like a bunch of sixth graders in middle school.
I see you working. Brad Underwood joins us. And then the euphoria itself is understandable. Like, to your point, we celebrate after every win because it's hard to win. But this year is your seventh trip to the tournament and the first time you've gotten past the round of 32. How was this group able to elevate its play when it mattered most, winning 9 of your last 10 and getting to the Sweet 16?
Yeah, we got healthy, and that helped. The season is a long roller coaster ride, and obviously we played six games without Terrence Shannon, and we had to adapt to that. We made some early season, 7-8 games in, we made some changes offensively, which have elevated us a great deal and helped us. But you know, it's kind of we're on the upswing, getting everybody healthy. Playing our best basketball, you know, at the right time is we've been very blessed that way.
Illinois head basketball coach Brad Underwood joins us. Brad, you mentioned Terrence Shannon. He missed the six games because he was charged with rape and sexual battery in December and was suspended. And then a federal judge granted that temporary restraining order against the university in January. I understand that you're very limited, that neither you or he can talk about the legal proceedings. I'm curious, how did you handle that internally with the team?
You know, this is a very, very mature, we're an old team. This is a team that is very connected. They understood the seriousness of that situation. And yet, you know, it was all about let's worry about the guys that are playing and let's be concerned and try to get them in the best situation to win games. And move forward. And we literally just took it day by day, practice by practice. We elevated our offense during that time, and we found a way. We were, you know, I think we were 4-2 in that stint, and played some very, very good basketball. And upon his return, we just kind of kept growing and kept getting better through that process.
You know, Brad, when you talk about the maturity of the team overall, when you and I spoke in December, you talked about how your roster was fairly unique in the sense that you did not lean heavily on the transfer portal to build it. So that said, how much do you think the team has benefited from the relationships that they've been able to build on and off the floor because they've been together?
Oh, there's no doubt. And we've got guys that play for the joy of the game. They play because they love basketball. They work. There's that common bond there. This group, you see it, you know, in our post game, we've got tremendous character. We've got really funny guys. They're best friends off the court. We have not had one divisive moment in the locker room with guys about anything all season long, and that's very unique. I've had so much fun coaching this team because of that, and there's been no agendas. It's been very, very fun to be a part of.
Man, it's got to be great to come to the gym every single day. It's got to be great to go to the weight room every single day where the guys enjoy each other. You know, I thought, Brad, there was a really interesting piece in The Athletic, a profile on you, and you were talking about something that was interesting to me in the sense that, like, you've got the Big Ten, and it's a conference with a real identity. It's a rugged league. It's a physical league. There's a very distinctive style of play. So if you want to have success in that conference, you have to build the roster a certain way. However, does that approach to roster building also translate to the NCAA tournament, or did it require that maybe you rethink how you build it?
Yeah, it forced me to rethink, and I say that. And we were a one seed. We had Kofi Coburn, two-time All-American, great player, and yet, you know, this has been a big league, and arguably one of the best teams in the country is Purdue this year with Zach Edey, two-time National Player of the Year, And yet, those guys are so rare and so unique. I knew we weren't always going to continually have one of those guys. And so, okay, how do we sustain? How do we get better? How do we develop? And so we set out to get big wings. I say this all the time. You know, we start five power forwards right now, and we play a little bit different. But we did that with intention. And we're very versatile. We can play a lot of different ways. We can play a lot of different lineups. And it's been very beneficial for us throughout the course of the season. And it's been matchup-based, more kind of an NBA-type look. But been very, very good for us. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's clearly working. I love that line that you've got five power forwards. Another reason why you are where you are, Brad Underwood, my guest, the play of Marcus Damask. He's playing some of his best ball on the biggest stage. He scored in double figures in four straight games. He led your team in assists during the season. How much does the grad student's ability to consistently knock it down from the perimeter impact pretty much everything else you're looking to do offensively?
Yeah, when he's making threes, we're a handful because Marcus is going to have the ball in his hands. He's a 2,000 point scorer in his career. He's a very high IQ player. He's 6'6", 220. He's got a great body. And when we play our booty ball, so to speak, you know, he forces a lot of double teams. Against Morehead State in the first round, he has a triple double, one of only nine other players to have a triple-double in an NCAA tournament game. And he just takes what the defense gives him, and that elevates everybody else. And again, we're fortunate to have a guy that's stepped in and impacted us at that high level.
So before you go, a couple of quick things, Brad. Booty ball, it's another funny line. You, as part of that profile, they talked about you and your friendship with Jay Wright. What did the two of you talk about as it relates to booty ball? Like, I mean, coaches compare notes and share notes, but now that Jay's on the other side and he's down in the media, what kind of things did you talk about, and did any of it resonate with you to the point where you implemented what he said?
Yeah, a lot of it resonated. I mean, a lot of conversations in terms of, you know, I go back, and Jalen Brunson, of course, being a Chicago guy, is, you know, everybody's familiar with in this state. But the way he played, and you know, they Villanova didn't turn the ball over much. They got great shots. They didn't have a true center. They had a five-man who could step out and shoot. And we were built very similar to that. And so it was just a matter of talking philosophically through some things and understanding things. And then a week later, there's a follow-up phone call. Hey, what about this and this and this? So, you know, I've stolen a lot of things that worked for Jay. And we've created a few on our own out of it, but it's just been something that stylistically has worked great with our team, and not afraid to change. for the betterment of these guys so they can have success.
You bet. So one last thought, Brad. The next one's always the biggest one, and you're getting ready to take on Iowa State, a team that really put it to Houston to win the Big 12 tourney title game. From what you've seen on tape, what are you expecting from the Cyclones on Thursday in Boston?
Well, T.J. Otzenberger does a great job, and defensively they are they're very good. They're the number one defense. We're the number one offense. You know, you beat Houston twice, you're doing something right. And they're tough. They're athletic. You know, they'll want to make it a rock fight. And, you know, I expect a heck of a battle. It's two good basketball teams, and you know, both teams are playing their best basketball right now.
Great matchup. Can't wait to see it. Illinois on to the Sweet 16. Their head coach is Brad Underwood. Brad, you've always been great for the program. I appreciate the access, appreciate the relationship. Thank you very much, and good luck this week in Boston.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you too, Brad. Thank you very much. Brad Underwood joining us. All right, the Illini, they look dangerous to me. Really dangerous. Like, could make a deep run dangerous. Really talented. Great offensively, but Iowa State's no joke now. There are plenty of people arguing they got to be a one, they got to be a one, they got to be a one. And as he points out, you beat Houston the way they did, and you get them a couple of times, you know how tough they are. All right, so there's some Illini ball. You're on to the Sweet 16 for the first time in quite some time. In fact, since 05, when you went to the title game. Your thoughts, Illinois fans, reaction. 1-800-636-8686. Looking for some telephone calls. Also, I've got Wally Szczerbiak coming up at the top of the hour. I want to talk some more about Shohei. Shohei is going to talk about his situation because he has to, of course. In the meantime, more and more lies coming from eBay. Hey, Jim, since I'm currently unemployed, I would like to apply for a position on your show. I have previously worked for Bob Costas, Jim Nance, and Al Michaels. Yours, ePay. I think I could probably confirm whether or not any of that is true pretty easily. Just like they probably could have confirmed whether or not he actually attended, much less graduated from UC Riverside, pretty easily. Or, I don't know, maybe lob a telephone call to the Boston Red Sox and say, hey, you know Ipe, right? Sure, you mean Shohei's interpreter? Right. Did he ever work for you? Was he ever on payroll? Did he ever do anything for you? No. Why? Because it says on his resume that he did. Thanks for the help. That's how long that would have taken. At Drew W. LeBlanc. I hope Shohei comes out with a Southern accent. Signed, Brian Kelly. Hashtag family.
Family. More importantly.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? I am a victim of massive theft. My supposed best friend said that he went to UC Riverside, but never did.
More importantly.
I thought we were family.
Family.
He was like a brother to me. And you know what a brother would represent? Family.
Brother. Family.
Frank writes, I hate family. People who constantly scream like that Grand Canyon fan. Regards, Yoko. Did any of you ever think we would find something more annoying than Yoko? Yoko could at least hide behind her art.
It starts with the great hands. Jovan Blackshaw.
This guy writes, that girl was screaming because she just failed the test required in order to email the Rome show. I heard she misspelled both Iafredi and Neems in the spelling section. Signed, Chad in Orlando. Young lady, you did not pass. You misspelled Neems. This guy writes, the JXP test. One, what was right in Toby in Houston's face?
Larry Brown.
Two, what did Carl and Rosemead wear to a party? Three, who is the greatest contributor to the jungle, and why is it Geoff and Lincoln? All right, again, for those of you who missed it, the JTP is now the JXP, since T is now X. JXP. Now, if you want to call yourselves the JTP, go right ahead. It's just not factually correct. Eric writes, hi, Jim. Brent Underwood booty ball. Tell me more. I like that energy. Signed, Alvin DeLauro.
I like this energy.
All right, y'all are going to have to do better. Once again, telephone number is toll free. His name is Brad, for one thing. 1-800-636-8686. Use the telephone number. Hit me up. We await Shohei. I've given you the March Madness whip around. We could talk some NFL. We could talk some eBay or anything else you want to get into. Go ahead, start dialing. Alvy, are you ready? Okay. Sports fans, are you ready to take your game to the next level, including, or I should say, introducing Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million active members? Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, then watch the winnings roll in. Once again, you can win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. Turn $10 into $1,000 with pro basketball, hockey, and college basketball entries right now. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, Prize Picks has got something for every sports fan. And with injury insurance, your entries stay in play even if your player gets injured. Download the app right now. Use the promo code ROME, R-O-M-E, for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code ROME, R-O-M-E, on Prize Picks for a deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. And now I bring in our resident expert, the genius, Alvin DeLauro.
I wouldn't say genius.
I would. Alvin, pick more or pick less. What do you like?
Okay, I got 3 today.
Yes.
Right? Bradley Beal, more than half a 3-pointer made. He's going to San Antonio. All he has to do is make 1 in a whole game.
I like it.
DeJounte Murray, more than 19.5 points. They're playing Boston. And then to mix it up, Caitlin Clark's last home game, more than 31.5 points against West Virginia.
Woo! I love it, Alvy. No, no. One more time. That was smooth. That was your best effort yet. Run
wow,
it back one
really?
More time.
All right. Here's why I blow it all. Bradley Beal, more than half a 3-pointer. All he has to do is make 1. Deontay Murray, more than 19.5 points. Caitlin Clark, more than 31.5 points.
All right, Alvy. Deontay appreciates your belief in him. There you go.
DeJounte. Or is it DeJounte?
Close enough. You're channeling your inner big head. You do have to be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Nice job, Alvy.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. All right, so once again, I'm looking for a good telephone call. We had a couple already. 1-800-636-8686. Build on that. Keep coming. Now, as we wait for Shohei, let me update you on this. If there's anything that his interpreter, Ipe, loves more than gambling, allegedly, it might be lying. allegedly. Now, we didn't find out much new information over the weekend about the actual gambling debt repayment at the center of the Shohei scandal, but we did find out that his translator will apparently lie about almost anything and everything, and apparently has lied about almost anything and everything. It's become pretty clear that one of the reasons why it's so hard to get any of the facts straight on this whole Shohei translator gambling scandal is that apparently Ipe does not get the facts straight. Period. Like, as a general rule, he doesn't really do facts.
So get your facts straight.
Which is pretty brutal. It's a pretty brutal characteristic or trait for a translator. I mean, wouldn't you think that a translator's most important job would be accuracy? Like, that's the most important thing, right? Because, you know, it's the job. Translating what somebody else says as accurately as possible is the job. Unless, of course, you stole $4 million plus from that person, in which case you might not translate anything accurately at all. Now, again, I don't know what happened. I'm still not sure whether it was story A, where Shohei covered his buddy's gambling debts, or story B, where Ipe stole the money and Shohei had no idea that he was gambling or that the money had been stolen. Or maybe the third story, or something in between. But what does seem pretty clear is that Ipe has a proclivity for changing stories. He's done it way too many times to be comfortable or believable. And he is comfortable telling way too many versions of the story. And he clearly plays it way too fast and way too loose with the facts to be anybody's translator, let alone the translator for one of the most famous and influential athletes on the entire planet. I mean, going back to what I said earlier, this guy even lied about graduating from college. He says he graduated from UC Riverside, except UCR debunked that. They not only debunked that, they said that he never even attended. They've got no record of him being there. Uh-oh! That's not awkward or anything. Another member of the UC system, UC family, guy that I love, Eric Burns, in very graphic terms, was on the X platform asking, who the bleep lies about going to UC Riverside? Right? EB. Like I said, I'm just relieved that it was Riverside and not Santa Barbara, because that would have been a reason to go. Then again, UCSB would have never let this dude run around claiming he's one of us. That doesn't fly with us. I mean, Riverside, sure. Santa Cruz, maybe. No offense, Alvy. But not the Gauchos. He knew better. That guy was not going to lie that he went to UC Santa Barbara. Because nobody would believe it. We'd check up on it. We wouldn't let that go. Probably would have been better off going with something like UC Merced. Or Santa Cruz, Alvy. Clearly, that liar is not Gaucho material. He's not, well, whatever the Riverside mascot is either. They debunked it. You gotta love people. Like, it's bad enough if you pull out just short of graduation. Sorry about that, Highlanders. I mean, it's one thing like if you come up a quarter or a few units shy, that's bad enough. If you don't graduate, you don't have a diploma, don't put it on your resume. But to not have ever attended the school at all and saying that you're a graduate, but then again, why is that so surprising? He also lied about his professional credentials. He lied about working as a translator for the Red Sox in 2010 prior to meeting Shohei. He probably went to Team Shohei and said, yeah, I work for the Red Sox. I've done this. He also lied about working as a translator for the Yankees during spring training in 2012. I mean, Team Shohei probably sat this guy down, looked at his resume and said, Says here you went to UC Riverside. Yep. Says here you also translated for the Boston Red Sox. Yep. And the Yankees. Yep. Okay. All we need is Shohei to sign off on this and we're good. That's a lot of lies. Dude, I think that you're confusing translation with making crap up. I mean, is this dude, how do we even know he's a translator? Because once you tell that many lies, then we have to assume that everything coming out of your mouth is a lie. Or in the very least, question anything you say because you keep lying. Are you even an interpreter? Do you even speak Japanese? Is that a lie too? Do you even know Shohei? Well, yeah, actually, you ripped him off, allegedly, so you must know him. I don't know if you know him, but apparently you know his routing number and his bank account, allegedly. I think we already think we barely know anything about Shohei. Imagine if everything we've heard about this guy came through ePay and ePay just made it all up. It sounds ridiculous, but he's lied about so many other things. How can we trust anything from that dude right about now? And yo, Team Shohei, I mean, bad enough mistake to run this guy out to ESPN.com and let him say what he wanted to say. But maybe long before any of it got to that, maybe you'd run a background check. It's not that hard to do. Like, I get the Angels maybe not doing some enormous check on the guy because he already was with Shohei. He came with Shohei. But shouldn't you do a check on an employee? Maybe a basic resume check? Like, make sure that any part of the resume, any part of it is legit? I mean, I can understand how maybe it slipped through the cracks with the Angels for 6 years. What I don't get is how he got hired in the first place. Forget due diligence. It seems like Team Shohei did no diligence on this one. Their diligence was, well, the guy says he translates. He says he worked for the Red Sox. He says he worked for the Yankees. He says he's a UC guy. Damn. Impressive. We're sold. You're hired. Now, of course, the conspiracy theorists are all going to say it's all part of the smokescreen, that Shohei is the degenerate, that it's all a campaign to make ePay look shady and guilty. Maybe. Maybe. Because the dude absolutely looks shady and guilty. It absolutely is shady to lie about your college degree. It absolutely is shady to lie about your previous employment and your resume. Obviously. It's not the kind of thing that totally innocent fall guys do, right? It's actually exactly kind of the thing that reckless crooks who rip off millions of bucks and run up massive gambling debts do, right? It'd be much easier for me to put on my tinfoil hat and sit with you conspiracy theorists had we not caught this guy in so many lies already. But I know. For some of you, you've already made up your mind because the conspiracy theory is just so much more fun and it's going to get you so much more run. So you're going to go with that. For some of you, Shohei is Pete Rose, Michael Jordan, Phil Mickelson, and 99's wife, all rolled into one.
You know, toughen up.
He'll never be able to shake the conspiracy theories, so he may as well lean into them and embrace them. Shohei's walk-up music for Dodger Stadium in his debut Thursday should be the X-Files theme. Then he could come out for his first Dodgers AB in L.A. with his helmet wrapped in tinfoil. Personally, I'm still trying to figure out what the hell is really going on here. What actually did happen. Because we've heard like four versions of the story. And none of them are convincing. Shohei is supposed to speak today we'll probably get next to no clarification or no information from that. But maybe he says something that finally makes some sense. We can only hope. But I've got a feeling this is going to get worse before it gets better, and we're not going to get any resolution anytime soon, not with the feds involved, and not with the MLB finally getting around to its own investigation. Not that I expect MLB to ever do anything with Shohei unless he actually did bet and bet on baseball. The only thing I know for sure is that Ipe is all about lying. It really looks like he also really likes to gamble. But I know without a doubt that he absolutely loves lying out his ass. I don't know about the gambling, but I feel pretty convinced about the lying. Never mind the sports book. If there was a lying book, Ipe would be posted up all day, every day, taking that lying book for all it's worth. They'd ban him from every lying book in town. He'd be walking around with disguises, trying to sneak into the lying book so he can lie and keep getting paid. Dude, you lie so much, you don't even know you're lying anymore. A lying book. He'd crush that. He'd be known all over town. Yeah, it's Ipe. There'd be pictures of him up in the lying book, like in the lunchroom. Don't let him in. Don't let him in. He'll take all our money at the lying book. Allegedly. My man, keep the UC system out your mouth. We're not having it. I'm not having it. Albie's not having it.
Keep my name out your mouth.
Eric Burns obviously is not having it. Quote, who would lie about going to UC Riverside? Reminds me of my good buddy Tom Tolbert. When he played for the Clippers, he used to listen to the show back in the day, and he called up, and he wanted to be on. And there used to be moron clones that would try and pretend to be people they weren't to try to get on, to try to jerk with us. So I had my call screener at the time run through a bunch of questions to Tommy T, and he dutifully answered four or five. And then he finally goes, dude, who would lie about being Tom Tolbert? Put me on with Rome. So great.
Dr. Boudreau.
That's my guy. All right, when we come back, you still have a chance to get through, but you're going to have to step your game up on the phones. I'm going to keep hammering that phone number until I get a good phone call. 1-800-636-8686. Again, I'm getting phone calls, but I need good phone calls. Phone calls to make it better. If you'd rather approach it via the X platform, do that at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. I want to also have a conversation about those of you who keep saying that the big head and I are, quote, chalky little bitches.
You little fanboy.
Yeah, either that or winners. Did you see how Chalk did this weekend? Not Count Chocula, but Chalk Chalk. The favorites. Dude, what happened to you? You're on. No, you did not. Clones, check it out. Not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags. So that way you can sample different flavors.
My bad, my friend.
To find
I'm
the best
sorry.
One for you, ask Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares.
My bad.
Old Trapper, what's your beef? At least he didn't play the Boomtown Raps right there, like he did last week in that spot. Albie's back with a vengeance. All right, so you know who had a great weekend? I want to touch on this again. You know who had a great weekend, clones? Well, outside of myself, I had a tremendous weekend. Thank you very much for asking. But you know who else had a really good weekend? A group of people that some of you hate. Who am I talking about? People like me, James Kelly, and a few others. These so-called chalky little bitches. That's what I'm talking about. You know, that select group of those clones who like to crack upon those who play the favorites. when it comes to the NCAA tournament or the NFL. You know, the folks who either take a favorite on a money line or a favorite in laying the points, the so-called COBs. You love to come in and crack back on them. No cap. There's nothing some of you love more than somebody who takes a favorite either by laying the points or betting the money line and then loses. That makes your life. You'd rather see them lose than see yourself win. I mean that. You truly believe that it's the easy way out for somebody, and you yourself, though, you're much braver. You're much more courageous. You actually earn your money. Not like our cashes or our bets don't cash if we win. Like, you don't want that money. God forbid you take a favorite. Like, you wouldn't even take the money. Like, playing the money line or laying some points is some sort of total bitch move that makes you less of a human being. When in reality, it's why there's actual numbers attached to the bets. It's to level the playing field. But that's not the way you see it. Not at all. You think it's a coward's play. Like, I've been doing this long enough to know some of you would actually rather go 0-5 betting underdogs than go 5-0 betting favorites.
Straight up.
Because you think you're some sort of boss, while the rest of us are a bunch of punks and cowards.
Nice swing, bitch.
Never mind that the favorites in the NFL season did better this season than dogs, ATS. But again, I guess it's all about the look. It's not about winning and losing. Again, you act like our bets don't cash when we win. But again, some of you don't want to hear it. Some of you don't care about the facts. Or that the primary purpose in playing is to win more than you lose. The main thing is to win and not lose. But for some of you, it's damn near a reason to go. When you hear somebody said, yeah, I'm going to take the X team minus the points. God forbid you hear somebody say, I'm playing the money line. You've already let the hands go before you even hear what the number is on the money line. Keep talking your bleep, Warriors. And by keep talking your bleep, I mean keep losing your money, because those so-called chalky little bitches had themselves a weekend. A weekend. You ready for your blood to boil even more, underdog stud? Starting in the second round Saturday, running through last night, here are the results for the favorites. Get ready to count, LaFib, because it's a big number. No la cap. No cap. The favorites won. Not one. Not two. Not three. Not four. Not five. Not six. Not seven.
Not six. Not seven.
Not eight. Not nine. Not 10. 11 straight games to start the weekend. 11. And they won 15 of the 16 total games straight up. And they went 11 of 16 ATS. Hey, would you take an 11-5 record against the spread? I'm guessing you would. Hey, believe it or not, those tickets cash. You actually get money for that. The only straight-up loss by a favorite came at the hands of a tremendous Jungle Karma team. Brad Brunell and the Tigers. No joke. The team that every single expert had losing to Richard Pitino's New Mexico squad in the round of 64 were able to cash that karma, destroy the Lobos, and then beat Baylor yesterday to finally bust out of the round of 32 and head to the Sweet 16. How's that for Jungle Karma?
Jungle Karma.
And had Brad not gotten it, I hate to say it, chalky little bitch hater, the favorites might have gone a perfect 16 of 16. How is that possible? Oh, it is. Oh, it is. But you'd rather go 0-16 than be one of us. Chalky little bees. Haters. I know you're all icing up right now, hitting that pounding headache with some ibuprofen. I'm not here to hate even more. I mean, I'm a law of averages guy. Not always the favorite. Not always a non-shock guy. Law of averages. you should bounce back, right? You better. Because if you don't, them CLBs will become even more unbearable than they already are to you people. Then again, what do I know? What do I know? I forgot. I forgot that all of you that come that hard against James Kelly and I whenever we play a favorite, ATS. Notice we never play the money line when we do this. ATS. But I forgot that all of you that come so hard at us are a bunch of Billy Walters. That all of you, Billy Walters, have your kids' futures paid for. That none of you are living paycheck to paycheck with this. No way. Like, Vegas security also sees you. The second you walk in the lobby, oh, turn around, turn around. We can't have them bankrupting us. I'm sure all of you have casino hotels up in the clouds. Clearly, Floyd Mayweather and MJ don't hold a candle to the amount of sports book cash flow that those of you hating on us CLBs have. Believe it or not, when we play ATS and we play favorites, those bets cash. They do. No matter how you feel about it. No matter how you feel about the optics or how courageous you think you are. The idea is to win more than you lose. Just look at this past weekend. Wally Szczerbiak joins me when we come back.